Rusty Landlubbers. This here be the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. This be an unofficial podcast dedicated to the hit ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This be the first thoughts episode where we give our first thoughts of the amazing Once Upon a Time episode we just be a watching. Well, I was watching with me good eye, so I'll do the best I can. And now we be sailing for Once Upon a Time treasure, so climb aboard. Here is our captain and first mate of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Captain, permission to come aboard?
Aye, mateys. Permission to come aboard.
Permission granted.
All ye, come aboard now.
Yep.
What an episode. Lots of treasure tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of cool reveals and all kinds of stuff.
Lots of really good, just, yeah. Captain Hook treasure.
That Pan's bad.
He's an...
Ugh. I know. All right, thank you so much.
And that's a testament to the actor who plays him, by the way. Because he's an adorable boy. But then he, like, Peter Pan opens his mouth and I want to, like, hit him, like, all the time.
Well, this is Jeff and calling Roni the host.
Yes.
Maybe we should include that at the beginning because I think people are listening. Who was this guy?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Hello to all the new people. We're having a lot of new people listen for the first time, so welcome.
Yeah. Yeah,
welcome to the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And this is our first thought, so we're going to be all over the place. But this time I have quickly typed up our notes. So it'll be faster to kind of put the show out.
Yep.
So we're going to jump into it. First thing, great, interesting, different music from Mark Isham in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Really, just different.
Different, so. But very good. I mean, Isham's fantastic. There's no question about that. And I've heard themes that, you know, keep recurring. Mm-hmm. So, and he's really good about tying that together. That's a good composer that does that. So
there were a lot of echoes of Star Wars in this episode for me. You know, one was kind of the indoor Ewok kind of
Ewok
theme, the music.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, just, I don't know.
All right, so you're more familiar with that than I am. So,
so the yes, but you did anyway. Never mind. So Lost Boys are almost like a schoolyard bullying. They were bullying Henry into fighting.
Man, what they were like taunting him.
Right.
That's crazy.
Right. Yep.
That's completely crazy. And it was interesting because I noticed that when he picked up the stick, it did have almost like a handle around it.
Sure.
So that was interesting.
And, you know, the one thing that we did talk about, you know, and this isn't, anyway, we were right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, one of my favorite versions of Peter Pan is the movie Hook, Steven Spielberg film.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one thing, and it may have been in the story, but I saw it, you know, portrayed, and we talked about it, just imagining things that came to being.
Right, right.
Now, in the movie Hook, they imagined things that weren't there, and it became real.
Right, once Peter believed.
But in this case, it was, you know, we can imagine that Henry had to hold something that looked like a sword and then close his eyes and believe, and then it became that sword or a sword.
Right.
So that was really neat. And then that, to me, that really opens up a whole lot of things for the ending. Because my thinking is, if it happens once, it can happen again once you kind of set that. So
right, right.
You know, and I mentioned something about maybe it'll, if they're facing some type of a beast or something or a chasm, maybe they can close their eyes and he can believe that there's a bridge or some type of escape.
Yeah, maybe.
So, anyway.
You never know.
All right, so when Henry cut the boy's cheek, it reminded me immediately of Snow cutting Regina's cheek.
Oh, yeah.
So is that kind of
parallel
connection there, right?
Yeah.
Also, the sword, there's something about holding that sword. Remember when Charming put the sword in the stone and faked like he couldn't pull it out, and then Snow pulled it out.
Right.
And then he said, well, whoever holds this sword is ruler of the realm.
Right.
The true ruler of the realm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that represented something to her, which made her stand up to Regina and gave her power, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this case, the believing and creating of this sword for Henry gave him power, because he started to change to me. When he fought, I don't even know the kid's name.
We don't know the kid's name.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
Great actor.
Oh, yeah.
The Lost Boy I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And but it seemed a little like the dark side of the Force, where Henry kind of started to get a little taste of it, and it made him powerful.
Yeah.
And so that started to kind of change him. It was interesting that he kind of flip-flopped back after the cutting of the cheek, where he said, I'm sorry.
Right. Because here's the reality, is that I think he did allow himself to let go. And then once he did actually cut him, he felt bad, because that's Henry's nature. It's not his nature to be this dark, evil little brat child that needs to be spanked really hard.
Right. And Henry is actually, we've seen him practice sword fighting a number of times.
Right.
With Charming, and I believe with Neil as well.
I can't remember whether he did Neil or not.
I'm fuzzy on that, but I think so. Anyway, there have been a number of times. Yeah, maybe. there have been a number of times where he's kind of learned
that. He's played that. Right,
And there was one point, I believe it was in season two, where he told Regina, he said, I want to be the hero. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's always kind of had this idea, you know, when he wanted to go with Charming.
Yeah.
I want to go with you. Why were you leaving me here?
Right.
It's dangerous. No, I can help.
Right.
You know, and so for the first time, Henry actually got that power to stand on his own, to face an enemy, and to, you know, hurt him. And back that enemy away.
Right. Well, what was interesting is that, the minute he had the sword, you saw the other kid kind of go, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. This just got real.
Yep.
And I think that's the true nature of the whole island, is that these kids, they're playing around with sticks and stuff, and that's all fine and dandy. But boy, howdy, Henry materializes. Or was it Pan that did it for him? I don't know. But however the sword materialized, all of a sudden that just got real, very real. And they recognize that. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with this.
So the Lost Boys are like thugs. They just do whatever they want. They don't apologize.
They have no parental supervision.
Right.
They have no adult supervision.
Yep.
And they have no rules.
Right.
Pan even said, there are no rules here.
And what would be kind of boring is if nobody new came, and it's just you.
Exactly.
I mean, what are you going to do? Well, will you run around and I get scraped by the Dreamshade bush again? Okay, that's fun. We could dance around and bang sticks together around the fire, and when there's no music playing, well, that's fun. I mean, you know, there's only so much you can do.
Well, but again, remember they're being fed a line by Pan,
right?
That it's all fun and games.
Yeah.
And the problem is that they aren't having enough time to really think about the families they left behind and miss them.
Right. And we'll talk more about that in a bit. So when the Lost Boys cheer, it was almost like Henry liked being part of the Lost Boys.
He did, but you know what? There was a little hint of that hesitation.
I humbly disagree. I think he was all in, and he was like, yes. So I think he, because, you know, with the kids, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be like the older kid.
Well, sure.
I always felt left out. And, you know, we already touched on it. He always wanted to be with the adults. He always wanted to go on adventures. He always wanted to be the hero. He always wanted to do all this stuff. And they always said, no. It's too dangerous. You don't need to do that.
Right.
For the first time, he was part of this group. And which flip-flops, because I think for a minute there he goes, not only am I like you, but I'm better than you, but I am part of this here. Because before he was saying, I'm not like you, I'm not like them, I'm not like any of this.
Right.
But I think he, at that moment, felt like, no, I am part of this.
There was a small hesitation at first. I saw it. That's what I saw.
All right.
That's just my interpretation. But I agree with you. I think absolutely he's starting to fall for that whole line of baloney that Hook's selling him.
You know, so another Star Wars point is, you know, it's okay to take on an apprentice until the apprentice is better than you. So, you know, Henry could have an eye on Pan and his position. Well, if Henry has fallen completely into this thing.
Well, and again, I still think that that's the end game.
Yeah.
Honestly, right. The end game is to make Henry the new Pan.
Yeah. Okay. And, I didn't notice that Pan was kind of nervous about Henry and what he was doing. He was kind of like, yep, okay, you believed it. It can't, yeah, that's cool, isn't it? Okay. Yay. I mean, he wasn't like, wow.
He wasn't surprised.
Yeah. So
he was actually, it was a rush. You could see
right. When
he saw that Henry truly and maybe that's the whole key, is that Henry did actually materialize it because his belief is so strong that he has, you know, he does kind of come from magic a little bit. So
yeah,
I'm just saying,
you know, and we also mentioned that Emma wanted to rescue all the Lost Boys.
Yeah.
And she would come around to that. And we saw little glimpses. And again, tonight, she goes, we're going to get you out of here. And you know, you need to understand that.
Right.
You know, and so I think when she turns on, or somebody, but I think it's going to be her, turns on the, puts the mom card on the table and begins to really kind of reprimand and or be a mom. That's going to start to crumble things, and Pan will start to lose power like the curse did.
Right.
Because I think that's part of what's happening.
Sure.
She is breaking that curse. She hasn't been that successful thus far. But
no.
I think the more she gets around these
because
boys,
she doesn't believe yet.
Yeah.
When she gets the belief that she can actually, like, break whatever curse or whatever it is, when she gets to that point where she can actually outwit Pan, all bets are off, and he's going to have to watch his back.
It's like Survivor. You set out with
it. Yep.
All right. So let us continue. And why did Neil mark underneath the bed cushion? I was wondering what that slab was. Remember when she took the mattress off? Maybe that's where he ate, or I don't know.
No, I think that's where he slept. I think that is where he slept.
So he may have kind of hidden some of it, maybe initially, if somebody found it.
Yeah. It's his own. It seems like it was very similar to what she went through in the foster system.
Who else marked on the wall, Days? Do you remember?
Rumpel did, I thought.
No. Kind of close.
Snow?
No.
Grumpy?
No. He counted in his head, I think. Somebody marked on the wall. Days in a jail or a cell locked away.
I can't think.
Bell.
Yep. Oh.
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. So we've seen that before, and, you know, it was a bit of a stretch. I'm not putting on my grumpy hat, but it was a bit of a stretch when she looked and goes, well, he gave up hope.
No,
but
I don't think it's a bit of a stretch at all.
Okay.
Because, again, she understands him better than anybody else does. Because, again, he is very similar. She did the same thing. I've seen it. I'm a little sidetrack here. Bones. Bones is one of my favorite shows, along with Once Upon a Time. And there was an episode a couple seasons back where Bones actually talked to a little kid who was in the foster system. And she talked to him, and it freaked Booth out because he didn't know that she'd been in the foster system. Mm. But she talked to this little kid, and she said things, and the little kid just spilled his guts. I mean, just spilled the beans about what really happened. And he asked her why, how she knew to talk to him. And she says, because I grew up in the foster system. I know exactly what he's feeling. You know, when people say, I know how you feel, they don't. But unless you've been through that exact thing. So, I mean, it's an interesting little dichotomy. And that's why I think that Emma does know and understand exactly what's going on with Neil. There's a connection between them. That's one thing. But secondly, and first and foremost, they... I know that sounded really crazy to say secondly and then first and foremost, but...
It's okay.
Sorry. She she understands him because she and he have a very similar upbringing.
Yeah. And I think it's coming out more and more, the whole abandonment.
Sure.
Lost boy, given up for adoption, being without parents, real parents, and all that. That's all coming out.
Sure.
Of the woodwork. And so... Okay, so the slab, anyway, I was like, I wonder what that was. So maybe it's just where he slept, and he just kind of... Yeah, because
it was like a cushion on top of it. It was a very crudely made, handmade cushion, but it was a cushion. So I'm pretty sure that was like a mattress, a bed, because it was pretty heavy. Emma couldn't lift it off by herself.
So Neil sews, and he makes pasta colanders out of coconuts.
It's not really a pasta colander.
I know that, but it's also, you know, stars in the sky.
Sure.
And he draws. He's a pretty... He did good in home ec.
He's a Renaissance dude.
He did good in home ec. I think he got an A.
He's a Renaissance boy.
Is there a Neverland Probably home literally. Ec class?
All right. No.
So, Regina, you know, again, we have... Listen to me. We have a great Facebook page for this podcast. It's facebook.com/OUAT podcast. We're getting some of the best... coolest input and comments on that page. And the one was talking about Regina, said for the, you know, she's kind of in the background, but she's winding up. So I'll let you go over to the Facebook page. And if you haven't liked it yet, please like it over there and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try and keep it up as best I can, but we're getting some great stuff over there. So, but Regina just kind of zings from the side. She's incredible.
She had some amazing one and very funny one-liners in the show tonight.
I didn't see a Neverland post office, you know. So anyway, it's funny. You know, on the wall, it's Pan, but don't let anyone tell you. Don't tell Pan I put it here, but we're looking for Pan. Anyway, so Neil lost hope and started to settle into his fate.
Mm-hmm.
But what gave him hope later that he could escape? Who introduced that idea, and how did it happen? That's what I want to know.
I wonder if it was when he met Tinkerbell.
And where was Tink? No Tink.
No, she said, until you come up with an escape plan, you know where to find me. You know where I live. So Tink's off on her own, doing her own thing.
She got some Aussie sass, boy.
She that does, tink. Man.
She's got a little
she
zip around there.
She definitely has some... I think she's actually New Zealand, but anyway.
Okay.
And if that's the case, she's Kiwi. In fact, I'm almost positive she's Kiwi.
New Zealander.
Kiwi.
All right.
She's a Kiwi.
Then she says Eva instead of ever.
Yeah. Rose McIver. She's a little Kiwi.
Yep. All right. So Hook didn't hook Emma early on in this episode. He tried.
Oh, man.
Boy,
He threw out game like nobody's business the whole time.
Emma just shut him down.
Yeah, but you could kind of see her going, oh, maybe.
And it was a lot like, you know, junior high or high school, you know, the girl walking by, you know, the guys, and they'll say, hey, Emma.
Yeah, but you know what? So. It's kind of like how you did with me.
Yeah.
You kind of started the whole, asking me questions that you should have already known.
Right. Right.
And then, I need to buy you lunch after I answer the questions. I'm thinking, really? Really? No, that's quite all right. Well, what about coffee? Sure, maybe. I don't know.
Don't give away all my secrets.
I'm not giving away secrets.
Somebody's writing them down.
What, you going to use them again?
No, I'm just, never mind.
Yeah, you should probably just not say anymore, because I think you might get yourself into trouble here.
I think I already have. All right. So, It was
but it worked.
It was
right?
The best lunch or best coffee ever.
We never had either until afterwards.
All right.
Anyway.
And tie into Once Upon a Time, we saw Mulan on our first
second date. Yeah, first date was Disneyland.
All right. I'll move on because need to.
That's a good
all right.
Idea.
So Charming said she's never going to like you to Hook.
Yeah.
Dad just did not approve.
Oh no, not even a little bit.
And if you remember our scorecard from a few episodes ago, remember? Everyone was outed for who they really were.
Right.
And so tonight we can mark off the list. Hook.
Yep.
Charming outed him as you're nothing but a pirate.
Mm.
And that's why Emma, he thought, wouldn't
Emma,
like
right,
him.
Right.
And yeah.
And we saw differently.
Right.
Charming, right. See, of all people, that's what bugs. Of all people, Charming should know better than to assume what you see is what you get with these people.
But he is concerned. You know, his father's side really came out tonight.
I totally get that. Yeah. And I applaud him for that, and that just makes me love him all the more. However, take the father thing out of it.
Okay.
And just from a surface thing,
I get what you're saying.
I think the father thing blinded him to what he should have seen if he had actually paid attention. So dad instinct way overshadows, you know, human nature instinct.
Right. Warrior or shepherd? Warrior or shepherd?
Right.
Could be both. We've seen in his history good warriors that are shepherds. All right. So a lieutenant is also a lieutenant.
Lieutenant.
All right.
It's just the French way of saying it.
So we met Lieutenant Jones.
Yes.
Lieutenant Killian Jones.
Which I believe is actually the equivalent. I'm making an assumption here, so don't crucify me if I'm wrong. But I'm making an assumption here that he was a first mate.
Okay.
As a lieutenant, I would think that would make him first mate, right? Because how else would he ascend a captainship if he weren't? Just saying.
And I love the, you know, everyone was dressed, including Killian, in white, more white. When they went to the island, he was this kind of dressed in white. So the good guy, you know, I mean, even in the old Western movies, the good guy always wore white, the bad guy wore black, and then Star Wars kind of messed it all up because the bad guy wore black, and then the bad guy also had soldiers that were wearing white, and it threw me off. But in this, we saw the flip side of Hook wearing white, being above board, saying that rum only makes you drunk, throwing the rum over there, and drawing a line in the sand and saying, weird of honor, we're working for the king. The king has asked us to do it, and we're going to do this to the best of our ability, running around fixing people's coats and buttoning them up and getting on everybody for making mistakes and everything. We need to be the best we can be for the king. So,
well, and I think, excuse me, more importantly, it was not so much for the king as it was for his brother. His older brother, by the way. So he looked up to his older brother a lot. A lot.
That was a nice relationship. I mean, first off, and I wrote it in my notes, but I'm going to say it right now, is Once Upon a Time has the stellar cast of people that you've rarely heard about. Now, look, Colin O'Donoghue was in The Right. I did not see The Right. Okay.
Right.
I've not seen a lot of what he's done. And for the most part, he's been kind of this, you know, he's been Hook. And tonight we saw more of inside Hook, where he came from, why he became what he became. And he's a great actor. It was really great to see the scenes with him and Liam, his brother in the show. But really great. I mean, you could tell that they really got along. And so you knew that there was something bad coming. Because that's always the case.
Well, sure.
To create drama.
We knew there was going to be some some drama happening. There had to be, because, again, how else would Hook become Hook?
Right.
Especially coming from that side of things. I mean, he went complete polar opposite.
Yep.
So, which was, again, another point that not everybody's not all bad, not everybody's all good either.
True. All right, so I learned something else, that there is something called a sextant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a device to calculate a course based on the stars?
Yes.
Okay. So, and I've seen little things where, you know, captains look through some type of little device with a, it looks like a monocle or a spyglass.
A spyglass is not the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
The spyglass that has the anything, typically it's got a handle of sorts, and it's got like, that's typically a sextant.
Right. And so, yeah, I mean, learn something new. And then Killian said something. Killian said, so we're on a hero's journey.
Yes.
Which is definitely Joseph Campbell.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
And to bring peace to the kingdom.
So. Right, right. Now, a sextant is an instrument used to measure the angle between any two visible objects. Its primary use is to determine the angle between a celestial object, stars, and the horizon, which is known as the object's altitude.
Hmm.
So, it's essential part of celestial navigation. In other words, you have to use that in order to navigate by the stars. So, that's how you have it.
I wondered if rum was in Hook's flask, or if it was some other magical something.
It's rum. That's a pirate's drink.
Yeah, right. And, yes, indeed. It is a pirate's drink. And you can ask Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yes, because he's always wondering why the rum is all gone and why we have to use the rum for other things other than drinking.
Yes. So, Daddy No Like Hook. I wrote that down in my notes. He wasn't good enough. And I think all fathers everywhere, when dealing with a suitor, don't like the suitors. They just don't, for whatever reason. So, you know, it's interesting. They use a lot of visual and they use a lot of clues to kind of give impending doom. Like, for instance, you know, Hook said, when the dream shade reaches your heart, you're dead. So we have this kind of timeline
that it's working toward.
And there's also the visual cue is you can see the little veins of it almost reaching his heart.
Right.
So, you know, in certain instances, there's a ticking time bomb or ticking clock. Well, we don't have that, but we do have this visual cue and this understanding of once it reaches a certain point, that's it. So, and it's been used on a lot of movies and TV and stuff like that.
Yep.
So we had a bit of a J.R.R. Tolkien moment where Dead Man's Peak, it's kind of like Mount Doom, you know, this place had this very this very evil sounding thing, Dead Man's Peak.
So, yeah, it doesn't sound like a pleasant place to go.
No.
It's not exactly a vacation destination.
No.
And speaking of vacation destinations, because I want to tie this back, did you know that the majority of the world's rum production is in the Caribbean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Latin America. Hence the reason it's pirate drink, because it was readily available to them. And it's made from sugarcane, molasses and sugarcane juice, and et cetera.
Yeah, I don't drink rum much often, but my favorite is Malibu, but there's just too many calories, so I
get headaches from rum, so I don't drink
it. I don't imbibe too much. Anyway.
So back to the vacation destination that we would not be going to, unless you're like the Addams Family, they would find Dead Man's Peak quite lovely.
Or Dead Man's Curve. That was a song, but different.
That's a whole nother ballgame.
So Liam said, we're going to a new land. And it reminded me of Columbus, sort of.
Yeah,
just that
bit.
Whole idea.
Exploration.
Going to find this, we find out later that this plant that is going to heal all diseases.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they were told. And Liam would not tell his brother, because the brother said, well, look, why are we going? And he goes, I can't tell you.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, mum's the word. They used a sail made from what I understood as feathers of Pegasus, which is the flying horse from Greek mythology.
Right. The child of Poseidon and Medusa. Well, actually, he sprang from Medusa's head when she was being beheaded by Perseus. That's the legend. There's different variations on that as well, but anyway.
I still remember the old Clash of the Titans in the 80s.
Yeah.
When they had that that story.
Which is funny because actually in those stories, Pegasus was born before Medusa was killed. So it doesn't quite fit with the actual real mythology. But anyway.
It was interesting. It was said that every day without hope is a day closer to being a lost boy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of those kind of timeless lines that it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because think about it.
So,
if you don't have any hope, you feel unloved, you feel lost, hence you become a lost boy. But again, what about lost girls?
I know.
Why is it that girls are not part of this? What is so magical that the girls, I mean, literally and or figuratively, what is it that the girls don't fall to this?
Because I think that, I don't know. Maybe the idea of being a mom. I mean, we watched the cartoon Disney version of Peter Pan last night.
Yeah.
And what they wanted in the cartoon was for Wendy to be their mom.
Right.
To be the mother that they didn't have. Read them stories and all that.
Tuck them into bed.
And so, I think that would kind of upset the entire apple cart, is if there was a female there that would have maternalish instincts to kind of take care and look after him and all that, that would definitely go against Pan's idea.
Yeah, that's true.
We're all alone here.
Right.
We don't have any family, so.
Yeah, no, good point.
In effect, he's being the father.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of is.
And so they sort of have a family if you look at it that way. But I mean, I don't want to go into all this stuff. All I want to say is that in the cartoon, Wendy was supposed to be the mom. That's all I'm saying.
I know. And I didn't mean to, kind of rabbit trail this. But it comes back to what I keep asking. How did Pan get this way?
Right. That's a very good question. All right. So, but, okay. We'll move on. As Charming's leaving, he said, add something to the message and tell him Grandpa loves him.
Yep.
And, you said right at that moment, Emma should know that Charming's lying. There's something more to it.
There's something more to it because, I mean, when he hugged her and
it was an over-hug.
She was like, oh, well, okay then. It was too much. And even Snow had kind of a funny look on her face.
Right.
And, Charming has said so many things that should have been major huge clues to these women. And I guess they're so distracted by the whole trying to save Henry that they're not paying any attention to it.
That's the only reason why it's working, because they're focused on Henry. But I mean, I'm going to throw out there Emma's superpower. Ha ha ha. I mean, come on.
You know what? Yeah.
She can't.
Again, I've always said it's not really an actual legitimate superpower. It's that she has the ability to read people really well.
Yeah.
And most of the time, not all the time, apparently.
As he's leaving, then, I would have said, Regina, come here. Just a little hug. I'll be back. But, thanks for everything. Thanks for the fireballs and stuff. Okay. Let me give you a hug. But no hug for Regina.
Yeah, no, they have a little bit of a history there. Yeah. And so, Well, remember, Regina did try to kiss him back in season one.
That's true.
That was weird.
With the note with nothing on it and all that.
Yeah,
I remember.
That was bizarro.
All right, so there was boar hunting going on, like Lost.
Exactly.
So.
Because apparently islands are filled with wild boars.
Boar. Yeah, wild boar and yeah.
Every island has wild boar on it, apparently. And that's the lesson to be learned from Eddie and Adam.
Regina must have been on that mysterious island and must have broken in the Dharma Initiative because she's got Apollo bars that she could just make appear anytime because she knows little boys love chocolate.
Well, yes, but here's the thing. I wonder if that bar of chocolate had some poison in it.
Yeah, possibly.
Because the way she looked at it when he took it, she was like, yeah, eat it, go ahead, eat it. Yeah. I'm like, wow, dial it down a little bit, Regina. She was very excited about him taking that. So
I want to talk about Regina's look later. I don't want to jump ahead. I'm trying to stay on my path this time.
She had some great looks too, by the way.
She did. All right, so the rope trap used to capture that lost boy was like Charming used to trap Snow.
Right, but I guess here's my question. So Regina can't just freeze him in place? Remember how her mother used to do that?
Right.
She didn't use the vines like she used with the kids? Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of interesting and funny.
Yep.
It's funny how she like either forgets that she can do these things can't, or she's just following instructions.
You know, I mean, it's it's nice to see that they're all finding their place.
Oh, exactly.
And she's always kind of waiting back there and say, is it time for the fireball yet? Is it time for me? Because just give me the word. Just breathe it. I'll whatever you need.
Well, and what's funny is that, you know, like I said, I mean, I'm not complaining. I think it's interesting, but I just think it's kind of funny that there's just limitations, apparently.
Is it time for the fireball? Because, okay, I'm telling you, I'm ready. all right, so Charming blamed Hook for his death. Because remember, he went back, he goes, if you didn't do that, and you didn't do that, and we would not be here.
Fair point.
It's all you.
He even said, fair point.
Yep.
Because he can't argue with it.
Yep.
Again, you know, again, a bad choice and the ripple effect it had.
There was another moment when Hook and Charming, before Hook went up to the top and then Charming climbed up later, where they were talking and they, you know, two kind of diametrically opposed people. We've got a pirate and we've got a hero. They're actually similar because they were talking about, you know, you love my brother. Oh, you love my brother. I mean, yeah, they're pretty much the same. And you know, and so for that moment, it was kind of like, wow, they do kind of have something in common. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole family dynamic.
You know. See, because they don't think of Hook as having a family.
Right.
They think of him as being this lone pirate who has nothing. And they don't remember that he had to have come from somewhere. He wasn't always Captain Hook.
True.
See, everybody forgets that.
Well, every
and I don't mean specifically him. I mean, they all forget about each other. It's that they weren't always the way they are right now, whether that's good, bad, or otherwise. They weren't always this way. Mm-hmm. They had whole lives beforehand. You know, I think about, you know, people that I know and how they've turned out sometimes, and I'm like, what the crap? And then I also, you know, have known some people who weren't very nice, and then they've turned out very, very nice, and I have good relationships with them.
Pan is the king of Neverland.
Well, yeah.
He said, we have no king here, except for me.
Well, he thinks of himself as the king, which, right, of course, you know, he would be because he's in control.
Pan offers a deal, which is very Rumple-like.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also disappears and reappears like Rumple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I mentioned there was a couple of daggers. You mentioned there was a couple of daggers. We now know Pan is immortal, so all that.
Right.
And now he's popping around. So Pan says, okay, I'll help you, but you got to do this for me. You got to kill Charming. I want to see your hook in him. You better just do it. So.
Yep.
Not a very nice boy. He's a lost boy.
He's not.
All right. So Charming crawling up that hill, I was kind of shocked because, I mean, he's really in the last moments of dying. I'm not saying I don't appreciate it, but it was just like, wow, he's
a badass. That's why. And we knew that from before. I mean, he killed the freaking dragon.
True.
You know, just saying.
He's a badass, but he's a nice guy. We met the guy. Took a picture.
We did indeed. He's very
in Steveston.
Sweet.
He's right very before sweet. He filmed a scene where he slugged Dr. Whale.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah. All right. So the Lost Boy said it's too late. And I just, that was one of those lines that kind of stood out because we already know, per Snow, it's never too late.
Exactly.
And, you know, Snow was trying to help him. I said, don't let him get to you. And it's just this whole manipulation. It just, all Lost Boys are manipulators. Pan taught him.
Well, you sure. Know,
and I guess what I'm interested in is how many times have they had practice?
But wait, how many times are they actually telling lies?
Yeah.
They haven't said anything that's not been true.
Right.
But the funny thing is, it sounds like a lie. Sounds like it could be a lie, but it's the truth.
Right.
And sometimes that's even worse because, again, it's hard to tell. Something that's true. There's a funny little movie that I love. I'm going to just geek out a little bit. Hardly anybody's ever even heard of it. It's an old Sandra Dee and Bobby Darin movie. And she gets mad because he's neglecting her. They're newlyweds and he's a photographer and is playing with all his models. He's in love with her, but she feels neglected. So her mother convinces her to pretend that she has a boyfriend, but not really, because all she has to do is send herself some roses and then tell him that she's sending him. It sounds like a lie, but it's the truth. And she does. She spends a crap load of money on these roses. And every time she says, I sent them, it sounds like a lie. But it's the absolute honest to God truth. And so it makes him suspicious and makes him kind of pay more attention to her. And it's the same thing. I think Pan has figured out that sometimes telling the absolute truth can sound just like a lie. And it makes people crazy.
And it works because no one would believe that the king sent you to get something that wasn't what he told you to get.
Exactly.
And the truth, without belief and hope, does, you know, make Snow say, now don't let him get into your head, because remember, we need to believe that it's never too late. We need to believe that we're going to get out of here. What he's saying may be true.
Right.
But when you introduce belief and hope in something,
right,
that can change things. Can. So.
Right. And that's exactly it. And again, what we don't know is, were there any Lost Boys on the island with Pan when Killian got there? I'm assuming there were. I'm pretty sure there were. We didn't see any of them.
Right.
But, I mean, he said everything he said to him was true. But it was the whole way in which he said it. Somebody said once, if you want to really, really scare someone, talk to them in a whisper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if you have to strain to hear what somebody says, it will fill your head with the craziest notions.
Yeah.
And especially if you say something really loud, really intense, in a whisper.
I hear you.
I know you do.
All right.
But it sounds like I'm saying something really, really obnoxious.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right. So, Regina's smile when Emma and Snow cut her loose, figuratively, to go Molaram that guy. It was just like she rolled up her sleeves like, oh, man. This kid is part of the group that is making my son fight? Oh, no. And the smile she had on her face, and when she walked over to him, it was like, yeah,
it was pretty intense. She, like I said, she's had some of the best looks and lines in these episodes. But what really got to me was Emma holding Snow back and holding on to her and just saying, I'm really sorry. And he's just, ugh. That was like, and you could see Snow's just traumatized face. Because Snow has always tried to do the right thing. Always. That was ingrained in her head, and she knows what happens when you give over to the dark side. So I think she honestly was afraid for her daughter, that it would make her go onto the, you know, the whole dark side. I think she was afraid of the repercussions of what would happen. Who knows? But that was a very very intense scene.
And Regina, when they brought that up, she goes, well, that's why I'm here. you know,
exactly.
Snow goes, I don't want you to go to the dark side. And Regina goes, that's why I'm here. You know,
it comes back to they all know their place and they're all starting to figure out what their place is. Regina knows hers is the dark stuff.
Yep.
Because that's what she's good at.
Now, they hinted at, if I remember right, Adam and Eddie hinted that Snow was going to fix her dark heart or something. And I haven't really seen any stuff like that. So maybe
stuff like
maybe
fixing
Maybe I misheard.
Maybe there isn't anything she has to do other than just constantly do the right thing and that'll repair it. I don't know. It didn't seem like there was anything specific she has to do because Dark Snow would have in a heartbeat said, yeah, you know what? Let's just fillet this boy.
Right. That sounds like somebody anyway.
You know what? And that's my point. If she truly had such a very dark heart, I mean, there's a point in her that is not afraid to fight if she needs to. And she's willing to pull out a bow and arrow and shoot whoever's going to come at them.
Take down
an ogre. Well, I'm talking about on the island even. She's willing to take out boys with her arrows. However, she fights within that, and I think that the good side is winning more than the dark side does. But again, that's what Regina's there for.
So when Greg and Tamara showed up on Neverland, they had a walkie-talkie that didn't work. I love the fact that Regina made a walkie-talkie with video that worked.
A comm link.
Perfectly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Comm link, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. So the old-fashioned compact. Now, ladies still use these things.
Absolutely. I have one in my purse.
It's more of a... When I saw what she took out, I said that's a very kind of an antique-looking compact.
They're harder to find than made like that. You're right.
And, she always looks fabulous, so I don't understand why she would need a compact, but maybe... you just carry one. You just always carry one.
Well, I'm thinking to myself, where'd she get it? Where'd she pull it out of? Because she didn't carry in a purse.
Maybe her mom had it.
Maybe Cora materialized.
I don't know.
Well, Regina and mirrors. That's how she communicates.
And that was what I was going to say, too, is another use of mirrors to communicate.
Right, which she is good at, and she can... basically go through and stuff, whatever.
But I love that there was a connection to it, and she broke it apart and gave him that one. That was a great twist.
Yeah. That was a fantastic twist.
Great one, Adam and Eddie. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good job, Jane. I don't know who wrote this one. Whoever wrote it is a great job.
Crikey. I saw the names.
But I'm thinking that compact may have come up during their writing camp.
I don't think Jane
wrote
this. It was not Jane. It was two other people, a gentleman and a lady, and they did a great job.
All right. So when the idea, there's a way to stop him from dying.
Yes.
That was very Revenge of the Sith and probably all kinds of different stories because death is the biggest monster. That's the one that, we all run from. We all try to avoid,
And we all try to cheat it.
Right.
Which is funny because actually if you look in Egyptian, especially in The Mummy, death is only the beginning.
Right. Yep.
Which is interesting concept.
So on this island, the people appear and disappear and you hear strange whispers and things move around. There is a spring of water.
Yes, there is.
It reminds me of that L Lost, show there. There was water in the middle with the light. There was no light, but there was water.
Protected.
And that was one of the things I said in yesterday. We talked about it. Is there a fountain of youth?
Yeah, we actually talked about that.
And so it wasn't exactly a fountain of youth. It's a fountain of healing.
But he said it keeps you young.
All right. So it was a fountain, because I tweeted out to Adam. I said, will we find a fountain of youth on this island? I didn't get a response.
Nope, because I don't think he wanted to ruin it for
everybody.
I don't
think he did. So anyway, there was a spring of water, waterfall. Collect.
Right.
And so, poor Snow. She's kind of the third wheel on this little compact video cam thing. She goes, I'm here too. I mean, poor Snow.
I know.
You got the two moms. You know, that's great. Sure. They're, you know, kind of getting along well enough to, you know, talk in this thing. Right. And she goes, I'm here too.
That was cute. It was cute.
They didn't tell Grandma's Henry Grandpa's too. Message. They didn't tell
no,
him.
No, they didn't.
So
they didn't have time, though. They really didn't, because Henry didn't believe it was real.
Yep.
See, that's the interesting thing. Henry, the truest believer, should have believed right away. But again, he's too clever for that. Yeah. That's why he suspected it was a trick.
Or maybe he's changing to mistrust or distrust that.
Sure.
So.
But I did love the fact that he went, I got to go. Somebody's coming. It's Pan.
Yep. My mom's coming. I got to hang up. Oh, man. All right, so then...
That did remind me a little bit of Jerry Maguire.
Right.
I hear my mom, I gotta go to bed.
Yeah. All right, so then I wondered, I wrote the question, is the water like the candle?
Hmm.
In that it gave someone new life, but then it traded for something else, because that's what Pan said. Magic always comes with a price.
Gee, I wonder where Rumple heard that. See, that would have been from Pan, I'm sure.
So all those folks, we even got an email after we recorded yesterday that said, I think Pan and Rumple are brothers.
Yeah.
And so a number of folks have said that. I agree. And I wonder, once they turn the aging thing off for Pan, how old he will be, what he will look like.
Yeah.
Then I wonder what Neil will look like. Because remember the time, he says time's different.
Yeah.
So.
Well, while you're Rumple's, on the island, right. You don't age.
Okay.
So it's essentially the same as the curse in Storybrooke, right? Time stopped. The only ones who age are people who were not there when the curse was enacted, right? The ones who could come in, which is Henry and Emma.
Right. True. Yep. The old frozen in time thing. All right. So Liam said to fight battles using unholy weapons is bad form. So they understood that what the king was asking them to do was bad. Is that, you know, when you fight sword to sword, that's okay. But if you fight sword dipped in some type of a powder or sap that will slowly kill people, that's bad.
Well, because... a fair fight. Right. Everybody deserves to have a fair fight. Mm-hmm. Not because otherwise, then, like Killian said, are you kidding me? If he took this and did what we think, he'd annihilate an entire race of people.
Right. Now, another thing I was thinking of is the king also didn't really care much about them. Because, you know, there could have been a point where, and it did happen at least once, they could have died and not fulfilled his request.
Here's the interesting thing. Who is the king?
Yeah,
that's a good question. Since he knew really what the, or at least, here's the thing. We're assuming he knew what the poison was, and that's why he sent them there, was to get it. But if he knew that, was he really trying to get rid of them?
Yeah. All right.
I mean, that's a weird thing to think about, but if you think about it, if you send somebody there and you tell them that it's a healing, has healing properties, you think they're not going to like try and use it and figure out what its power does beforehand? Come on.
All right. So once you drink the water, you can never leave Neverland.
Right.
No pun intended.
Right.
And Liam died because he did leave Neverland.
Right.
And what was interesting is he didn't die until the boat touched the water outside. And it reminded me of that Lost show, you know, because they had that line.
Right.
Remember, and all that, the equipment and everything. If you cross that, you would die.
Mm.
And
well, kind of sounds a lot like crossing the border, the town border at Storybrooke.
You didn't die.
But your memories died.
Right.
Right? So a form of dying.
Can I say the Charlie's Angel pose with Snow Regina and Emma was the coolest thing I think I've ever seen. Next to the Neverland 5 Avengers pose.
Right.
But that was just awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, actually.
And you've got a sword, you've got a bow and arrow, and you've got a fireball.
Oh, and they're ready to use them,
ready.
Too.
Oh, my God. Just all right. So Charming finally told the truth. Sort of. Kind of. He sort of told the truth.
He so did not tell the truth. He told the furthest thing from it.
Yeah.
The only truthful thing was that Killian Jones saved his life.
Yep. Regina doesn't do rum. That was
high five.
Pretty funny.
High five, Regina.
Pretty funny.
I like it. I just can't have it because it gives me really bad headaches.
Lana, listen to me. Your character should try Malibu rum. just have Regina try Malibu rum. Hey, you might change your mind. All right. So Hook and Emma sitting in a tree or standing in the forest. KISSING.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty electric, their exchange. That was
quite the... Yeah. I thought it was really funny and very very flirty junior high school, the way he kind of goes. So I think I deserve a reward as he's tapping his lips. I'm like, oh my gosh. How many 17-year-old boys did I have that conversation with? One.
Okay. All right. So Liam's death and the betrayal of the king and all that crumbled down changed Killian Jones to... I put Hook, but it changed him to a pirate.
Yeah.
Killian Jones.
He became
Jones.
A pirate, yeah.
So, and they changed the name of the ship.
Oh, yeah.
And Killian said there is honor among thieves.
Yep.
But not with the king and not with them and not with that.
And we're going to take back everything they took from us.
Right. And that,
yeah.
You know, that's another theme, too, is taking back what has been stolen.
Right.
It's kind of
revenge
sprinkled around. Right.
Let's say revenge. Yeah. I mean, because that's really what it is. And he said, fly under the crimson. I thought he said, fly under the crimson or the scarlet.
Crimson. Yeah.
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 Which is interesting because, anyway, yeah.
All right. So then Pan waits to the end. And once Hook does the right thing, then Pan comes and says, well, I've got a big, fat secret.
Yeah.
Of course, he doesn't keep the secret to himself.
He didn't even say he had one. He goes, how good are you at keeping secrets?
Oh, yeah.
How would you... Well, let's see how you do with keeping a big secret.
Right. So the penalty for Hook not following orders was that Pan told him that Hook's nemesis... The rightful love of Emma's life is right. on the island.
Right.
And, of course, if he knew all about it, then Hook probably would assume that he has captured him.
Right.
Because I don't think Pan would just say, yeah, he's around. He's having a great old time. You know, it's like, no.
He knows he's got him
right.
somehow.
Right.
But here's the interesting thing. So I thought about this. I thought, okay, wait a second. So... this just shows that Pan really is just a boy. Because if he was really upset that he didn't take the deal up on the mountain, he would have killed him.
Right.
He would have swiped him with Dreamshade. Right? He changed the terms of the deal.
Yeah.
He goes, okay, well, here's another one. And he didn't even make a deal. He just goes, here's your penalty. Instead of death, I'm going to make it just even, I guess maybe it's more painful this way. Because death would have been, you know, hey, he would have been reunited with Mila, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and that is reminiscent of Rumpel. You know, after he killed Mila, you know, he goes, well, kill me. It was that kind of a discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, no, I'm going to leave you alive.
Yeah.
So you know what you did to me.
Mm.
You know, and you know, look. This show has so many different kinds of things. Losing love, finding love with somebody else's love, what's right, what's wrong, and just this whole thing. But, you know, then somebody gets hurt, and then somebody gets crushed.
Right.
And then there's, you know, somebody losing a brother, and then that changes their whole life.
Mm.
you know, and puts him on this path of revenge, and we're going to get everything that was taken from us.
Hence, Regina and Hook are very, very similar.
Yeah, yeah.
Very similar.
All right. So, but the biggest secret of all, next to Neil being on the island, is that there's someone hanging next to Neil in this crate thing. Is it Greg?
That was what I first thought. That was my first assumption, was because, you know, Tink said what was left of him. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't mean anything, because we don't know what she meant by that.
Right.
You know, how do we know she's actually not in cahoots with Pan in the first place? We don't know. We're assuming she's going to, you know, be helpful, but we don't know.
Yeah.
So there's that to consider. You know, I don't like to think of her being an evil fairy, but what I am saying, though, is Greg would make sense, but if it's not Greg, is it Rumple?
Possibly.
And if it's not Rumple, then who would it be?
Unless it's...
It's Liam.
Okay.
Think about it. I know that sounds crazy. And we saw them toss his body off the ship in a body bag. But tossed it in the ocean. Nothing says Pan couldn't have revived him somehow.
Well,
or nothing says that the water couldn't have revived him. And he landed, his body washed up on shore. And Pan, I don't know. Wouldn't that be crazy, though?
Well, but Greg
makes the most sense,
right?
But it's almost too obvious. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. It almost makes it too obvious. Unless, oh no, Tink.
Okay.
Tink.
All right.
Tink being in that box would make sense, because Pan would have found out she was helping them out.
Okay.
Okay, so those are my options.
So we spun the wheel and
right. No, I know, but I'm just telling you. I think there's many possibilities of who it could be. The most far out would definitely be Liam. That'd be the most far out answer. But that wouldn't surprise me if they go that route, because, you know, they pull some crazy strings sometimes. Rumple is another option. I don't think it's Rumple, because I think that they, you know, I think Rumple's too smart for them to capture. Second or third, it could be Tink.
Right.
And if not, then
we got it.
We got them all.
Yep.
So I think Tink is the most obvious, because she's the one who's Tink or Greg. Those are the two most obvious, because she's helping them, and Pan would know if she's helping, theoretically. And if it's not, then wow.
Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's all my notes. That's all we got. And
that's a lot.
The way this works is, these are first thoughts. These are first stab at the information that we got on this fantastic episode. Now it's your turn. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Did we miss anything? We've asked a lot of questions on this episode. Do you agree? Do you disagree? And, you know, we would love to hear your thoughts for the main show. We have an email address, which we're going to give to you in just a little bit. Quartermaster Juan Fourth is going to do that, as well as a voicemail line.
Yep.
We also have Twitter. We also have Facebook. I'm trying to do more, integrating of Facebook and Twitter questions and input and things like that. Also, post on the blog post for this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to kind of integrate all that, because all of it is needed. And we want to integrate all the different things from all the different places where you want to give your thoughts on certain things. And if you have a theory or whatever, we want to know what you think. So let us know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully you're subscribed to it. And then if not, you can go to iTunes.onceuponatimepodcast.com and subscribe to this podcast. You can also leave a rating and review. We got a great one, and we want to continue to get those, because we want to be seen by more people. And we're getting more and more new people all the time. And so that's great. But you're a part of this podcast. It's not just us talking, because we want to hear from you. And that's why we have all kind of different options for you. So, yeah, this is thanks so much for helping spread the news, yes. Mentioning us in forums or in certain groups and in Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Thank you for tweeting while you're listening to our podcast. It's very helpful, because then other people see that in your timeline that you're listening to our podcast. We really appreciate that, because that's spreading the word. We also appreciate that you retweet our posts about the episodes or different things. And there's fun stuff that we talk about in Facebook and fun things we do in Twitter. I'm trying to kind of do different separate things. We're trying to make this as fun as possible and kind of grow this kind of beyond this audio file that is this podcast. And so I think we're doing it.
Yeah.
And it's really great to see the numbers kind of going up of people downloading and trying it out. And I think a lot of people are liking what they're hearing, but we need you. So please get involved. And we really appreciate that. I want to send big love out to everybody. Thank you so much for being part of this. And we're all in this fun ride together on this ship sailing for treasure, Once Upon a Time treasure. And this is a fun season.
Yeah.
So much great stuff going on. So hang in there, and we will talk at you in a couple of days. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, mates, thank ye for joining us for the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This be a Roni's Own Media production. We want to hear from ye. Our website be onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our email be feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our voicemail line be 657-333-0626. So let us know what you thought of tonight's episode. And keep a ruddy eye for our main show coming in a few days. So tell other Oncers that this be the place to be. Until we sail again, big love to you all. And we'll see ye later. With me, good eye, of course.